Scripture reading is from 2 Kings chapter 17, 19 through 23. 2 Kings chapter 17, 19 through 23. Also, Judah kept not the commandments of Jehovah their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. And Jehovah rejected all the seed of Israel, and afflicted them, and delivered them into the hand of the spoiler, until he had cast them out of his sight. For he had rent Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king, and Jeroboam drove Israel from following Jehovah, and made them sin a great sin. And the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them until Jehovah removed Israel of his sight, as he spake by all his servants, the prophets. So Israel was carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. And that's Jeroboam, 2 Kings 17, 19 through 23.
Thank you, David, for reading this text. This text is so important to our study tonight as we're talking about Jeroboam. I was talking with Caitlin about the lesson that I wanted to present tonight on Jeroboam. I understand that the little ones are studying certain passages, and I wanted to, in the Sunday evening lessons, try to present some material that they might be familiar with. And when I told her that I wanted to talk about Jeroboam, her comment was, "Oh, we've already covered that. They're talking about Ahab, and so we're going to have to talk about Ahab and old wicked Jezebel." But I want to talk about Jeroboam tonight. If you'll open your Bible there again to 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings chapter 17. The context of this passage deals with the fall of the city of Samaria and the conquering of the northern 10 tribes. We note that Hoshea was one who was supposed to be king, and he was paying tribute to Shalmaneser, king of the Assyrians. But instead, Hoshea went down to Egypt and tried to make a deal with Egypt so that the king of Egypt, Saul, would help them out in their battle against the Assyrians. When Shalmaneser found out what Hoshea had done, he approached Hoshea and pointed out that we're going to conquer you. And so he did. But the thing that I want you to see is the role of Jeroboam in all of this. The text that is on the board in front of you, in 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 21, "For he rent Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king, and Jeroboam drove Israel from following Jehovah, and made them sin a great sin." Jeroboam, we're going to see, becomes the standard by which sin that other kings in Israel is measured. And so it's important for us to study about Jeroboam and see what he did and the consequences of it. The history of Jeroboam is rather interesting. The text tells us very simply that he is the son of Nebat of the tribe of Ephraim. When we go back to the text of 1 Kings chapter 11, we're first introduced to Jeroboam. But the sequence of events that lead up to the introduction to Jeroboam is seen beginning in chapter 11, actually beginning about verse 1, where the text tells us of the many foreign women that King Solomon loved and the consequence of that. Of course, you're well familiar, and note that he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. God, through Moses, had warned the kings that they were to have not to multiply wives, Deuteronomy chapter 17. And the very reason that was stated was the reason that we see here. They'll turn you away from serving God. And so Solomon's wives did that very thing. In verse 8 it tells us of chapter 11, "And so did he for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed unto their gods." The consequence that was to be imposed begins in verse 11. It says, "Wherefore Jehovah said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my commandments and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it, for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but I will give one tribe to thy son, for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. God said to Solomon, I'm going to take the kingdom away from you. In the series of events that follow in the 11th chapter, we read how that God raised up enemies unto Solomon. Solomon, in the next few verses, verse 26 and following, appoints Jeroboam to oversee the house of Joseph. Some things we simply want to notice in that, in passing, is, as verse 28 tells us, Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon saw the young man, that he was industrious. And he gave him charge over all the labor of the house of Joseph. Now that paints a very pleasant picture of Jeroboam. One that Solomon would recognize, one that Solomon would give very detailed work to. However, we note in the next few verses of Jeroboam's pride. Jeroboam was ultimately to be asked or appointed to be king over the northern 10 tribes. But God tells us why Jeroboam was to be appointed to serve as king. Look, if you would please, beginning in verse 30. I want to read down into verse 31. It says, and Ahijah laid hold of a new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces. For thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee. But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. Because they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashereth, the goddess of the Sidonians, Chemosh, the god of Moab, Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, and they have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in mine eyes and to keep my statutes and mine ordinances as did David his father. Howbeit, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him prince all the days of his life for David my servant's sake whom I chose, who kept my statutes and my commandments, but I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand and will give it unto thee, even 10 tribes. Now Jeroboam is given a very great opportunity. He's given the opportunity to be king over the northern 10 tribes. God is going to divide the kingdom. He's going to divide the kingdom because of their idolatry led by Solomon. Because of their disobedience, as you can see in verses 33 and 34. The kingdom would be divided. Jeroboam would be made king of the northern 10 tribes, but God gives him a chance to keep his commandments and to be blessed. Look at verse 38. And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and will walk in my ways and do that which is right in mine eyes, to keep my statutes and my commandments as David my servant did, that I will be with thee and I will build thee a sure house as I built for David and will give Israel unto thee. And I will for this afflict the seed of David, but not forever. In verse 40, we learn that Solomon therefore sought to kill Jeroboam. But look at the promise that God makes to Jeroboam. If you'll do what I tell you to do, you keep my commandments, then I'll bless you and I'll make a great nation of you. Jeroboam has tremendous opportunity as God promises to bless him. But yet we see that consequently, Solomon tries to kill Jeroboam, making it necessary for Jeroboam to flee. The text tells us that he goes down into the land of Egypt to get away from King Solomon. That introduces us in the 12th chapter to someone that we've already talked about. Solomon's son, Rehoboam. A young man that proved himself to be very foolish. On this chart, just to cover the 12th chapter and to order the events for our study tonight, we note that the people came to Rehoboam and they complained about the burdens that King Solomon had placed upon them and they requested of Rehoboam that he would lighten their charge or lighten their burdens. We note that Rehoboam consulted with the old men who had sat in council with Rehoboam's father, Solomon. And they instructed him that if you will lighten the burdens as the people have requested, they'll be your servants forever. But he counseled with the young men. And the young men advised him to show the people who is king. And so he declared unto the people that my little finger is thicker than my father's loins. He said, my father did laid you with a heavy yoke. I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Sometimes when someone takes such a bold stand that is so overbearing as that, people revolt. And so they did with King Rehoboam. In verses 16 through verse 24, we read of the rebellion of the northern 10 tribes. Picking up the thought in verse 17, it says, but as for the children of Israel that dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the men subject to task work, and all Israel stoned him to death with stones. And King Rehoboam made speed to get him up to his chariot and to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. And it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was returned, that they sent and called him unto the congregation and made him king over all Israel. There was none that followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. Look at that carefully. Rehoboam sends a man up to the northern tribes to try to persuade them to not divide the kingdom. And the text tells us that they stoned him to death. And when the northern tribes learn that Jeroboam is back from Egypt, they want him to be their king. That pretty well cements the division, doesn't it? Now we've got two tribes. Jeroboam king, or two nations. We've got Jeroboam king over the northern 10 tribes, and Rehoboam continues to be king over the southern 2 tribes of Judah and Benjamin, at this point known as Judah. Now this map displays the division that occurred during the days of Jeroboam and Rehoboam. Now this map is especially important to our study because I want you to note where these arrows point. They point on the northern extremity to the city of Dan, and on the southern extremity of the nation of Israel to the city of Bethel. The reason that is so important is that Jeroboam, rather than to keep the commandments and statutes of God, is concerned that the people, if they go to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices as God has commanded them, if they go to Jerusalem to worship God as God has commanded them, then he's afraid that their loyalty will once again be restored to Rehoboam. Now you see, is jealousy. But look, if you will, in the text. In chapter 12 of 1 Kings, he reasons in verse 27, if this people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of Jehovah at Jerusalem, then will the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, the king of Judah. And they will kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold. And he said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. Now let's pause there in the reading. When Jeroboam said, it's too much for you to go to Jerusalem, so you need to go to Dan, or you need to go to Bethel. Notice, if you will, just how far away Jerusalem was. Jerusalem was only about 10 miles from Bethel. But Jeroboam's argument is, that's too far for you to go to worship God. 10 miles is just too far for you to go to do what God commanded you to do. So he set up calves to worship. He introduced the practice of idolatry into the nation of Israel. And we see that from the time of Jeroboam until the time of Hoshea, when Shalmaneser conquered the northern 10 tribes, There was not a single king that did not worship idols in the northern tribes. Every one of them were bad kings. But Jeroboam was the one that introduced that among the people of God. Now, the very thought that he had, how to secure his kingdom, was the first step to his downfall. What did he do? He introduced calf worship. What did he do when he did that? Look at the text beginning in verse 28 once again. He said, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set up the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one even unto Dan. And he made the made houses of high places." Now what was that? He made places for the people to worship the calves, to worship idols. It says, "And he made priests from among all the people that were not the sons of Levi." You recall in the instructions that God gave unto Moses regarding a separate priesthood, they were to be the descendants of Levi. But Jeroboam set up a whole separate priesthood. What else did he do? You'll notice that not only did he change the object of worship when he set up golden calves, he changed the place of worship when he appointed Dan and Bethel. He changed the priesthood when he set up his own. And he changed the feast days, as you'll see in the next few verses. But in verse 33, notice, if you would, that he went up unto the altar which he had made in Bethel on the 15th day in the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart. And he ordained a feast for the children of Israel and went up unto the altar to burn incense. Jeroboam is doing what he wants to do. He set up different gods, different time and place of worship, different priesthood, different sacrifice, different feast days. It's all changed under the reign of Jeroboam. He does as he pleases. And thus he introduces this sin among the people. Well, what does that include? In 1 Kings chapter 14, jumping ahead just a bit, it says in verse 9, but hast done evil above all that were before thee, and hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. What happened to God? Jeroboam, as the text tells us, cast God behind his back. I'm doing what I want to do. And he became the standard by which other kings were judged. In 1 Kings chapter 14, in verse 16, the text tells us, and he will give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, which he has sinned, and wherewith he hath made Israel to sin. In 2 Kings chapter 17, the text that was read in your hearing, when Shalmaneser was conquering Hoshea, we find that it's because of the sins that Jeroboam introduced among the people of God. Now, what does God do about that? Look, if you will, in 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. In chapter 13, we read of the man of God. We've talked about this prophet in times gone by. The man of God in 1 Kings chapter 13, who cried out against the altar that King Jeroboam had set up in Bethel. And he said in verse 2, he cried against the altar by the word of Jehovah and said, "O altar, altar, thus saith Jehovah, behold, a son shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he sacrifice the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee. And men's bones shall they burn upon thee." Now I want you to remember that. We're going to come right back to it. This man of God, crying out against this altar, names the name of the man who will be king of the southern two tribes, of the descent of David. His name is Josiah. Now we might read in that and say, well, that happened just a few days later. Not hardly. When you look at the appointment of kings in 2 Kings chapter 23, 2 Kings chapter 23, yes, Josiah of the descent of David did the very thing that this man of God said that he would do. In 2 Kings chapter 23, read with me beginning in verse 15. Chapter 23, verse 15. It says, "Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel, and the high place which Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, even that altar, and the high place he brake down. And he burned the high place, and beat it to dust, and burned the Asherah. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchers that were there in the mount, and he sent and took the bones out of the sepulcher, and burned them upon the altar, and defiled it, according to the word of Jehovah, which the man of God proclaimed," who proclaimed these things. Now, when we look at that, we say, yes, Josiah did that. But look back at the time frame of 1 Kings chapter 13 when the man of God said that Josiah would do that. Josiah hadn't been born yet. In fact, this was about 291, almost 300 years down the pike of the kings. And this man of God named Josiah and said, here's what he will do. He will destroy the altars. He will destroy the priest. He will sacrifice them. He will burn men's bones upon the altar and defile it. Now, how do you suppose that man of God knew that some nearly 300 years before? God told him. And here was the prophecy of the man of God. Now, how do we know that's going to come to pass? The man of God said there's going to be a sign. In verse 3, he says, "Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out." Now look further, if you will, in verse 5. It says, "The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign given by the word of Jehovah." The man of God said, here's what's going to happen. Here's how you will know what's going to happen. And indeed, it occurred. And indeed, Josiah fulfilled the prophecy of the man of God nearly 300 years later. Now that brings us to the text of the 13th chapter, verse 7 through several verses. In fact, through the end of this particular chapter, because we've just studied it not too long ago about the young man of God, whom Jeroboam invited to come and to dine with him. And this young man says, no, I can't do that. Well, why not? God told me that I could not eat or drink along the way. And I could not go home the same way that I came. So he refused Jeremiah's offer. We know that there was an old prophet who likewise invited this young prophet to come and dine with him. And the young prophet said, no, I can't do that. God told me that I can't eat or drink along the way, and I can't go home the same way that I came. And the old prophet said to the young prophet, God told me that you could. But the text tells us in verse 18 that he lied to him. The next portion of the text tells us how that the young man was slain on the way. He never got home because he had disobeyed God. But that tells us of the relationship of this young man with Jeroboam, how that he was deceived and how that he died. Jeroboam does not change his ways. In spite of what the young prophet has said to him, and in spite of what has happened to him. In verses 33 and 34 of chapter 13, the text tells us, "After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again from among all the peoples priests of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated him, that there might be priests of the high places. And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off the face of the earth." God's upset with Jeroboam. He's appointing whomsoever he wants to become priest and to worship and serve these idols. Now, Jeroboam's reign is marked by rebellion and idolatry. There's no other way to characterize it. It's marred by war with Judah, as we see in 1 Kings chapter 14. We also note that his house was to be destroyed. Look, if you will, in chapter 14, beginning in verse 7. In verse 7, an interesting context, we note that Jeroboam has a son. And this son's name is Abijah. Now, don't get confused here because the names are very similar. Jeroboam's son is Abijah. And Jeroboam sent his wife to a prophet named Ahijah. And he wanted his wife to deceive her, to deceive the prophet, to dress up as if she was not Jeroboam's wife. And God told Ahijah that Jeroboam's wife is coming to inquire about Abijah. How did I do with that? And God said, you tell her what's about to happen. And so he does. In verse 10, it says, behold, therefore I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam every man child, him that is shut up and him that is left at large in Israel, and will utterly sweep away the house of Jeroboam as a man sweepeth away dung till it be all gone. Now, Ahijah did not mince words when he spoke to Abijah's mother about what was going to happen to him. And Ahijah was very specific when this would occur. He said, when you get home, Ahijah will die. And if you'll look in your text at verse 17, it says, and Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tarzah, and as she came to the threshold of the house, the child died. And all Israel buried him and mourned for him according to the word of Jehovah, which he spake by his servant Ahijah. Now, God does what he says. Jeroboam's house was to be completely destroyed. In 1 Kings chapter 14, we learn that Israel was to go into captivity. The king over the northern 10 tribes, Jeroboam, reigned for 22 long years. Can you imagine the damage that he did to God's people during that time? Now, in all of this, there are some things that I want us to take home with us tonight. Lessons for us to learn. Jeroboam had great opportunity. God told Jeroboam that if you will keep my commandments and observe my statutes, I will bless you and I will establish your house. But just because one has opportunity does not guarantee success. Jeroboam did what he wanted to. He did not submit to the commandments and statutes of God, and the opportunity that God gave unto Jeroboam assures us that Jeroboam knew what God's commandments and statutes were. But you see, the lesson we want to take home is that just knowing what is right does not mean we're going to do what's right. Jeroboam knew, but he disobeyed. We also note that his stubborn will led to his own destruction. Jeroboam was determined to keep the kingdom divided so that he could have the allegiance of the northern 10 tribes. And to do that, he introduced idolatry among God's people. Now, his stubbornness did that. That led God's people in the northern 10 tribes to pursue a life of idolatry from beginning to end of the kings. And God destroyed them, just like he said that he would do, as he brought Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria, upon them. In the city of Samaria, the capital of the northern 10 tribes, was destroyed in 722 B.C., and they were taken captive. Another thing that I want us to take home is that God will be honored by his people, or in their sin, they will be destroyed. Jeroboam had opportunity to lead the people to do the things that were right, but because he led the people to practice idolatry, God was not honored, and the consequences were imposed upon his people. Another lesson that I want us to take home is that God always does what he says he will do. For example, when God told Jeroboam that if you do not keep my statutes and ordinances, here's what's going to happen. That's what happened. When God, through Ahijah, told Abijah's mother, here's what's going to happen to Ahijah when you get home. When she got home, that's what happened. Her son was dead. When the young prophet in crying out against the altar in Bethel, told Jeroboam by speaking to the altar that there would be a man named Josiah of the house of David that will sacrifice the priest upon the high places. He will burn incense upon the high places, and he will burn dead men's bones, or he will burn the dead men's bones upon the high places to defile these altars. 291 years later, that's exactly what God did through Josiah, the king of the southern kingdom of Judah. Now, God does exactly what he says. Now, my question to you tonight is, can we learn these lessons from Jeroboam, a very wicked man that became the standard of wickedness for the kings throughout the northern 10 tribes? You've listened patiently to our study. Hopefully it's been helpful and you've learned something. Perhaps I'm talking to one in the audience this evening who is not a Christian. You need to do something about that. Your sin, like Jeroboam's, will cost you your soul. God, through His Son, has provided the means whereby you can be forgiven. He provided His Son. You must believe that He is the Christ, that He came, lived, and died for you. Be willing to turn from your sin in repentance, confess your faith, and be baptized into Christ. If you've done that and you've not lived faithfully, the people of Israel were identified as God's people at one point, but they were rebelled and they suffered the consequence. God destroyed them and took them captive. My friend, God has never promised to save anybody in the practice of sin. If you've obeyed the gospel and now you've become unfaithful, you've got to fix that. Tonight would be a good opportunity for you to do that. If we can assist you, make it known while together we stand and sing this song.